Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is the key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Oh.
welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. I want to talk a minute about our radio broadcasts. Our radio broadcasts are going out of here this morning to all of North Texas. We get West Texas out of Abilene there, as you can see. I got a call this past week from a brother in Abilene that his daddy was a professor at ACU. Right here is our West Texas broadcast. And so we're going to send him some Bible studies and try to get him working and teaching and maybe preaching and no telling what all we get him done, being raised in the church. He's just like me, a prodigal son. Started off right, wound up wrong, come back, got a chance to get going again. We cover all of Oklahoma in our broadcast out of Oklahoma. It's a really great broadcast, a really great station. We lost our station in Arkansas. They sold the station. Now we're on a 50,000-watt blaster out of Tennessee, out of Nashville, Tennessee. It's broadcasting to all of Tennessee. It gets bigger than what that circle there would indicate. It gets most of Alabama, Mississippi, Kentucky, and gets over some into North Carolina. And so we have an enormous broadcast area. One individual has paid for the Radio Africa Network, our broadcast 1, 2, 3, our international broadcast, going out to 21 English-speaking countries in Africa. In these 21 countries, most of the people in these countries are English-speaking, and only 21% can read. That means that 79% of the people, if they hope to be saved, have got to hear the Word, the spoken Word of God, the preached Word of God. A missionary like Paul has got to go over there and be with them and preach to them, or they've got to hear us on the radio. So we go out, we have 3 one-hour broadcasts that goes out into Radio Africa 1, 2, and 3, and so these are 3 different broadcasts. Our Radio Madagascar has had a problem. We're having problems with the government of Madagascar, and they seem to want a little scratch. And so we don't fool with scratch. We know all about scratch. We don't fool with scratch, and so we're not going to be doing no scratching. And so there's other things available. And since we are not subject to giving bribery nor taking any type of bribery, we have contacted Pan American Broadcasting. So I asked them what they thought about doubling down and what we were doing with them. And so she sent me an email this past week to basically tell you what we do with Pan American Broadcasting. If you'll jump over to Broadcast 12. Broadcast 12, we broadcast out of Miami, Florida, to Europe, Africa, it's all of India, China, Russia, all of the Middle East, and we pay for that. And by paying for that, we get broadcast 7 and 8 free, which is North America and South America. We get these 2 broadcasts free. Then we also have a deal with the same company, broadcast 10 and 11. And broadcast 10 and 11 is, again, these are all shortwave, and they go out and shortwave shoots up to the ionosphere. It comes back down and hits the earth, goes back up to the ionosphere, and it bounces like a ping pong ball. And so they shoot this from Florida, from Miami, Florida. They shoot it over the North Pole. This shows you how they do it. But they shoot it out of Miami, Florida. They shoot it over the North Pole, and it comes down and hits in Russia, China, India, all of Malaysia, the Philippines, New Zealand, and Australia. Now, by buying one broadcast from them at 4 o'clock, they give us another broadcast free at 9 o'clock. So I asked this station about doubling down. And I said, all of our broadcasts with you is in the evening and the afternoon. We reach Europe at 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in Moscow, 5 o'clock in Turkey and Pakistan. We reach China at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. And so we'd like to get some morning broadcasts. So they have now made us an offer that we probably can't refuse. Let's go back and look at broadcast 9 now. Comes out of WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, and it broadcasts the same way. It broadcasts right over the North Pole out of Nashville, Tennessee, over the North Pole. comes down into China and all of Russia, India. You know, China has 1.4 billion people. India has 1.2 billion people. That's an enormous amount of people that's under the sound of my voice this morning. Broadcast 12 comes out of WRMI Miami. It gets all of Africa, all of Europe, and then Broadcast 13 is part of WWCR. It broadcasts to all of North America, South America, Africa, all of Europe, all of Russia, India, and half of China. And so the three broadcasts that it looks like that we might be losing out of Radio Madagascar, only on a temporary basis. I talked to the president, Charles Caldwell, of Radio Madagascar, and he says that he thinks he can have those problems worked out in about 6 months if we'll just be patient. We are going to lose three broadcasts and gain five, so it's even better. Praise the Lord. Everything's paid for. All we need to do is raise $100 a week to pay for that broadcast to Europe, and then we'll get North America, South America free. We've already got someone that's agreed to pay for China, and we'll get an extra broadcast to China free. So if there's somebody out there in the radio audience that's got an extra oil well or $1 million, or if you're tired of seeing your contribution, go to Professor Smart and his brand new Cadillac. Well, you know where to send it, to where the money will all go to the poor, and we'll preach the gospel to the whole wide world. This morning, we're going to do something different. We're going to tell the story of the crucifixion of Christ from all four Gospels. Now, for you to get the whole story, you need to go read the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because each one of them have a little different words. They add a word, they add two words, they're more amplified, they tell us something that the other one doesn't tell. So if you want the full story, you got to read the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What I've done here is picked out the ones, the fullest account, so that we can hear the fullest account of the death of Christ. And so I'm not going to be giving you every verse. I'm just going to give you the books as we jump between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so we're going to first begin with the betrayal of Jesus in the garden by the snitch Judas. You know, they don't call it snitching no more. They call it getting down first, you know, if you live in the hood like we all do. Beginning in Mark chapter 14, verse 43. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. Luke. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Any of y'all ever been betrayed with a kiss? Amen. That's the way dogs generally do it, isn't it? John. Then Simon Peter had a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it? Matthew, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? A legion was 5,000. And so Jesus said God would send me 60,000 angels just like that if I ask. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? So the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all this was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. Matthew, and all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled, and all the disciples forsook him and fled. And Zechariah, it says, and they all would flee and leave him. So now Jesus before Caiaphas. This is a picture here of Caiaphas' sarcophagus. A sarcophagus is a bone box. It's about 2 feet, 2.5 feet long,
about a foot and a half wide, about a foot and a half tall. It's got a lid on it. You can see that this is very beautifully made sarcophagus here, that this is really beautifully done, and a lot of expensive artwork and everything went into making of that sarcophagus. And it has scratched on the end of it, Yosef bar Khufu, which in Hebrew is Joseph, son of Caiaphas. And we know that that's who this is because the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Caiaphas' first name was Joseph and Khufu was his adopted, it was an adopted parent name. And so we absolutely know that this is Caiaphas' bone box. Now, what happened is when you died, they laid you out on a slab, and they let you lay there and rot for a year. Then somebody had come and scooped your bones into that sarcophagus and sweep up your dust into that sarcophagus, and then they'd bury you in that sarcophagus. And guess what they found? They found that Joseph Caiaphas was coined in the mouth. That he really didn't believe in the God that we believe in. He really didn't believe in the God of heaven. He believed in Jewish mythology that when you died, you had to have a coin in your mouth, and that paid for the boat driver to take your soul across the River Styx. This punk was not even really a believer in God. He was a high priest. He was a Sanhedrin. He was a rich fat cat who believed that I'm rich because God must like me and you're poor because God doesn't like you. And so he believed in no afterlife, no rewards and punishment, no heaven and hell. So Jesus is arrested. He's taken to Caiaphas in violation of the law. There's no nighttime trials allowed in the law. None at all. You couldn't try a man in the night. It'd be a kangaroo trial to try somebody in the night, and there wasn't no kangaroo trials and no lynching under the law of Moses. Matthew 26. And they that laid hold upon Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and he went in, and he sat with the servants to see the end. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Now, the witnesses before the Sanhedrin or before Jewish judges, all their testimony had to agree. Nothing could disagree. And so their testimony, these guys couldn't get their story straight. They couldn't get their lies straight together. And there rose certain that bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say that I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I'll build another temple made without hands. But neither so did the witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is this that these witness against thee? But of course the prophet Isaiah had told us in Isaiah 53, like a sheep is dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. Speaking of Jesus and how he wouldn't answer. But he held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you, I put you under oath by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Mark. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what weed we of further witnesses? Matthew, what think ye? And he answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is this that smote thee? All this in fulfillment of Isaiah 49 through 51. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. After dawn, Jesus is formally condemned by the Sanhedrin. Now, they've had their nighttime trial or kangaroo trial. They've all made their minds up. They've beat him up. They've smacked him around a little. And so now it's daytime, and so they're going to make it formal. Luke. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of power. Now, to sit on the right hand of God's own right hand means that you're the one who carries out the sentences of God. You're the bouncer of God. You're the executioner. You're the one that gets the job done. You're the Savior. You're the one that saves. You're the one that condemns. You're the high priest, in other words. Shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of God? Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Now in Hebrew and in Greek, there is a clause that's used here that means you've already said it. Why should I have to say it? You've spoken it. The words have come out of your own mouth. I don't need to affirm it anymore. You've already affirmed it. So it's just exactly like him saying, I am, where he said, I am before. You say that I am. And they said, what need we of any further witnesses? We ourselves have heard out of his own mouth. Jesus before Pilate now the first time. Matthew 27. And when morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders and the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. John. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. And what did the prophet say? All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. What was it? Well, it was a feast day. It was Passover. All the fat cats, what are they going to be doing? They're going to eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul, Isaiah tells us 750 years before it happened, that they might eat the Passover. And Pilate, when he went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Luke. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. We just studied that the other day. He did not forbid that, saying that he himself is Christ the King. So their lines never ceased. John 18:31. And said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. Remember the prophecy? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloah come, till the Christ comes, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. The Jews will always have the right of capital punishment. They'll always have the right to put people to death until Christ comes. And then they're going to lose that right to the Romans. It's not lawful that we put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. If the Jews had put him to death, they would have stoned him. But Jesus said he would be crucified. That was the death of the Romans. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered and saith, this thing about thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I Jew? Thy own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What has thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were not of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest that I am a king. Same principle. You said it. It's true. You said it with your own mouth. I don't need to say it. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that heareth the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The oldest piece of the New Testament, the John Reynolds fragment, is from these verses right here. Mark 15. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Matthew. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch as the governor marveled greatly. Most people get in front of the judge, they're really bad before they get in front of the judge, and they squeal like a pig once they get in front of the judge. Luke. And they that were more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee unto this place. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out. mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's 1,000 written lessons. There's all kinds of links, places that you can go to and get a great education. Jesus before Herod Antipas, which was Herod the Great's son. Luke 23:6. Then Pilate heard of Galilee. He asked whether this man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but when he answered him nothing, and the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, purple was the sign of a king, and sent him again unto Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they had been enmity between themselves. Jesus before Pilate the second time. And now that the feast of the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, Mark. And when one was named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that they made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitudes, crying with a loud, began to desire of them that he had ever done unto them. In other words, to release a prisoner. Luke. And Pilate, when he called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, and found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you unto him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Matthew. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that will that I release unto you, Barabbas or Judas, which is called Christ? Now, just imagine in a holding cell just off of the trial courtroom where the judgment seat was a holding cell, and in there was Barabbas, and in there was Jesus. And Barabbas is hearing his name hollered, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. And he thinks, man, they're wanting to mob me. They're wanting to lynch me. They're wanting to kill me. Don't you know his knees was knocking? But they was really hollering to turn him loose. On Passover, two goats, or two sheep, were selected. And the Jews prayed over each, and they shot the dice, and one of them became the scapegoat, and they took him out to the wilderness of sin and turned him loose. And the other became the sacrifice, and at the ninth hour they cut his throat. And his blood was given for the sins of the people to push the sins forward one more year till another scapegoat and another lamb was offered. And each year, sin was pushed forward for a year. It was never gotten rid of. It was only pushed forward for a year. But Barabbas is just like that scapegoat that got to go free. Pilate said to them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew of envy that they delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man," and releasing us Barabbas, John. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now a scourge was done with a Roman flagon, which was three straps, and at the end of the straps was a piece of barbell. It was just like a handheld barbell. It was a piece of metal that had a bigger piece on each end and had a rod through the middle, and the strap went around the rod through the middle, and they would hit you 39 times with this flagon, and every place that piece of metal hit, it would make it bust you open as big as a lemon, man. It would make a hole on your back and on your sides and on your buttocks. It would bust you open every place it hit you. So if he got 39 lashes from a flagon, that means that he had 117 of those places busted open on him. That's what you and I did to him, because he died for my sins. I hope he died for yours, but I know he died for mine. He died for my sins, and that was the cost of my doping, of my shooting, of my robbing, of my stealing, of my killing. That was the cost for me to be forgiven. For being an outlaw and a crazy, that's the cost for you, what you've been. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a misdemeanor sinner like y'all, or if you're a felony sinner like me. Sin is sin, and Christ had to die for your sin. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. You don't see what one of them looks like? It's right up here on the table. Just come up here and put it on your head. Just come up here. You think you're tough? Put it on your head. Show us how tough you really are. And you know what they did when they put it on his head? They hit him on the head with a rod. Come up here and show us how tough you are. Plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head, and put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I send him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." And then the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him. They cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Take ye them and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went in again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" Now see, Greek mythology believed that gods came down here to earth. And this guy was different than anybody Pilate had ever met. And it says very plainly that he was the more afraid. And he asked, "Whence art thou?" Are you a god, in other words? I think he was beginning to worry a little. "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered and said, "Thou would have no power against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate thought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, now, John gives a different reckoning. He's writing years later. He gives a different reckoning. He gives the Gentile reckoning of the sixth hour, 6 o'clock in the morning, while the Jews are giving the Jewish reckoning, which would be the first hour of the morning. And so John gives Gentile time. Matthew, Mark, and Luke gives Jew time. And it's preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Matthew And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye dead. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. Jesus said a generation would not pass away until all his words were fulfilled. And he died at the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, 40 years later, the Roman army showed up at Jerusalem and compassed Jerusalem about, and not near a Jew escaped. And 1,100,000 Jews died, and 97,000 went into captivity at the very same hour, 40 years later. And his blood was upon them and their children. Luke. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they require, and he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, Barabbas. But they had delivered Jesus to their will. Jesus is now mocked by the Roman soldiers, Matthew. Then the soldiers, the governor, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers. Now, a band of soldiers was 500 men, all of those that wasn't on duty. So about half of them was on duty, standing guard at the gate, on the walls, and around town, so forth, like cops on the street. And all the rest of them was off duty. And all those that was off duty, they just bullied him around and pushed him around and smacked him around. It'd be like being black and get caught up at a Ku Klux Klan meeting. It'd be like being a white boy and getting caught over here on Bear Street by the black Muslims. It'd be much like that. It'd be a nightmare. Do you know something? This is the greatest church on earth. There's no church like this. This church is half black and half white. There's no church like this. This is wonderful. This is what heaven's going to be like. All the rest of them talk it. All the rest of them marched it and went back home to Beverly Hills and never lived it. Well, I live right here in the hood. Then the soldiers of Jesus took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put upon him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him upon the head. Jesus on the way to the cross. And when they that mocked him, when they took off of him the purple and put on him his own clothes and led him to crucify him, and they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross, Matthew. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Gall is half wine and half opium. The psalmist in Psalm 69 had said that the Christ would be offered gall. I'm telling you, I'd have took the gall. You'd have took the gall. I'd took the dope. Wouldn't you have took the dope? I'd already been hurting enough that I'd have wanted the dope. You know why he didn't take the dope? Because he was all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He wanted to be able to justify all the dope fiends that ever lived. But he would not drink. Luke. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him with the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. John. And Pilate wrote this title and put it above the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title they read many of the Jews that for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but he said that I'm King of the Jews. And Pilate answered and said, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lot. These things therefore the soldiers did. Matthew 27:39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, If thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with the scribes and elders. He saved others, but he himself he cannot save. He be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also that were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. He gritted his teeth and said on the same thing one of them did, one of the thieves on the cross. Luke 23. Now one of the malefactors which was hanged reviled on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, that's the one that gritted his teeth and railed on him. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art of the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we deceive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. People ask you, how did the thief on the cross go to heaven without being baptized? How do you know he wasn't baptized? Have y'all ever met a backslider that's been baptized? Well, you're looking at one right here. I backslid after I was baptized. Once, twice, tell the truth. I can't tell the truth. I don't dare tell the truth. I don't dare tell the truth. But the wonderful part is my sins and iniquities he can remember no more. That's the wonderful part. Man, how we fail, how we try. If we just try, we still fail. And we indeed justly see the due of our reward. But this man's done nothing. How did this guy know that Jesus was sinless if he didn't know Jesus? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, why would he confess him as Lord? Why would he call him Yahweh? Lord, Yahweh, why would he call him Yahweh if he didn't know Jesus? Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. How did he know about the kingdom of God? Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Sounds to me like the guy knew something about the Lord. Maybe he was taught by John the Baptist. Maybe he was taught by one of the disciples. Maybe he was taught by Jesus himself. David stood by the cross, his mother and his sister and the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciples standing by whom he loved. John, speaking of himself, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he said unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And to that hour the disciples took him into his own home. The 3 hours of darkness while Jesus is on the cross. Mark. And when the sixth hour was come, that's 12 noon according to Jew time. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words of Psalms 22. My Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is how Psalms 22 begins. The very words of Christ prophesied 1,000 years before Christ was ever born. That psalm goes on to say that they pierced his hands and his feet, that they shot dice over his clothes, and that he would raise from the dead, and that he was the Son of God, the seed of God. Go read it yourself. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard this said, Behold, he calls Elias, meaning Elijah, Matthew. And the rest said, Let be, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him, John. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now, you notice earlier, they offered him gall mingled with vinegar, and he wouldn't take it. Now, the prophet had said they gave him gall for his meat and vinegar to drink. Psalm 69, he takes the vinegar. And Jesus, knowing that all things are now accomplished, as the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And they would set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed the head and gave up the ghost. Then when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And when he said this, he gave up the ghost. There were certain signs accompanying the death of Christ. Matthew, and behold, a veil in the temple was rent from the twain, from the top to the bottom. And you know what that showed? It showed that man now has direct access to God. This veil in the temple that had an ark of incense right in front of it. All of this temple was just a shadow of the church of Christ and the new thing to come. When you came to the altar, you came and you got the blood. When you come to Jesus, you come right down here down the front today, you come to Jesus, you come to the blood of Christ. When you come to the blood of Christ, you're baptized into Christ. There was a laver next, and you have all your sins washed away. And so you become holy. Then you're added, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved, the Bible says in Acts 2:47. You're added to this church, which is the temple of God, this shadow, the temple of God. And in that temple of God is a table of shewbread, where we eat of unleavened bread and we drink of the fruit of the vine. In it was a seven-pronged candlestick, a menorah. And Jesus said that ye are the light of the world near Olam. And before the veil was the ark of the incense. And the incense are the prayers of the saints going up to God. And this veil in the temple was broke, was tore from the top to the bottom. This veil was 90 feet tall, this tapestry, this curtain. And it was tore as if the hand of God tore it apart from the top to the bottom. And these Jews believed not so much that they went on and coined themselves in the mouth, ignored all the signs and the wonders and miracles, because they didn't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. You know what they believed in? They believed in the God Almighty dollar they had in their pocket. That's what they believed in. And you know what that beautiful, beautiful metaphor is showing us? Is that we now have direct access to God with our prayers. You here this morning, you're a Christian, you're a sinner. All you got to do is just pray. Just pray and say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And you have direct access to God with your prayers. The burial of Jesus' dead body in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation. Preparation means that they're killing the Passover sacrifice at the very hour Christ died. The lambs are being slaughtered. A quarter of a million lambs are being slaughtered up on the hill in the temple at the very hour that Christ died. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that their bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, because that Sabbath day was a high day. Now, what that means is that it was a Saturday. It was a Jewish Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night. That's a Sabbath day. But it was also Passover, so it was a double holiday. And so it was a high holy day. A high holy day is a double holiday. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Now see, they come with big clubs and they break your legs so you couldn't push yourself up and take a breath and you would very soon drown in your own fluids in your lungs and smother to death because you couldn't push yourself up on your legs anymore to take a breath. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and then of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they break not his legs. That's in fulfillment of the prophecy, a bone of him shall not be broken. Then one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. He does that 50 days later on Pentecost. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. When did the Jews ever pierce their God? Well, right here with a spear. They pierced his side. And forthwith came out blood and water, the water showing that he was already dead. And they that saw it made record of it. Mark, and Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also had waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it, the centurion, he gave the body up. And so they take and they bury the body in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you want Christ to die for your sins according to the scriptures, you can do something about it. You can march right down here at the front, meet me right down at the front down here, make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord. Be baptized into Christ and have all your sins washed away. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing? Desmond, stand up, please. Face the church. Desmond, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, sir.
You want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in over here, brother, we're going to baptize you right away.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links, please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Okay.